Oh, come on, let's give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. Oh, he is worthy. Come on, let's give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord Jesus is worthy to be praised. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue must confess that he is Lord. How many of you all know that no matter what your situation is, you got to bow to Jesus? Hallelujah. You got to bow to Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Diabetes got to bow at the name of Jesus. Lupus got to bow to the name of Jesus. High blood pressure must bow to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's no God like our God. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. Truly, it's a blessing once again to be here. Amen. Be a part of this great conference. Amen. How many of you all have just been blessed? Amen. Have been blessed by this women's conference, Her Destiny Women's Conference. I tell you, I am just so elated as a man to be a part of it. Praise the Lord. I grabbed a hold of my wife's dress tail and slid right on in with y'all. Hallelujah. So I'm just so glad to be a part of this morning. And not just this morning, but this week. Praise God. We just thank God for, amen, giving us an opportunity to be a part of this great conference. I would be remiss if I did not give honor to the angel of this house. Amen. The person of Pastor Robert Frewster and co-pastor Brenda Frewster. Come on, let's give it up for them. That man and woman of God. Come on, that's right. Let's give it up for them in the name of Jesus. Thank God for the visionaries. Thank God for the angels of this house who feeds, glory to God, amen, tends to the flock of God, amen, in this assembly, not only this assembly, but thank God for the international ministry, amen, that God has entrusted them with, amen, praise the Lord. You can be seated, praise God. We thank God, amen, for their ministry. We thank God for those of you who labor alongside with them, amen, glory to God. My wife, though, Sister Karen, amen, praise Sister Shelley, amen, Minister Shelley, Minister Karen, all the titles, praise everybody. Amen. There are no big eyes and little using God. Amen. How many of you all know that? Praise the Lord. Amen. So we just thank God. We're glad to be a part of this once again today in the name of Jesus. My name is Rodney Huffman. And my wife, thank God, my beautiful wife, Freya. Amen. Huffman, praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you all know her. Y'all have known her longer than you've known me. Praise God. Amen. So I'm the new addition. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for answering prayer, my good thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for her. Amen. This morning in Jesus' name. Thank God for the spiritual leadership that Pastor Brenda Frewster has rendered to her and to so many others in the name of the Lord. Made it easy. Amen. For me to find the woman of God that I need in my life. Now, I want to say this. We're going to open with prayer. My wife's coming in a moment to open with prayer. Matter of fact, she's going to come right now, open in prayer. And I want to I'm trying to see if I ought to say what I'm going to say right now before she pray, but I'm going to let her pray first, and then I'll say what I'm going to say. Amen. Receive my wife. Amen. Evangelist Freya Huffman.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We praise you, Lord God, for what's been done thus far, Lord God. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we just thank you for what you're doing in each and every life. We thank you for the visionary of this conference and just the heart to pour into people, grow people, push them into their destiny, Lord God, and just to keep you at the forefront in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for each person here, whatever they've been through, only you know, Lord. Any brokenness, Lord, we pray for healing in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Lord, we pray for restoration back to you, first and foremost, Lord God. That is our most important relationship in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord God, we pray that you give us what to say in the name of Jesus, and it'll be a blessing to your people, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Even those that might be streaming and watching, Lord, and can't even attend, Lord, we pray you touch their marriages, their homes, their children, Lord. You know what they need, and cover them, Lord, and keep them, Lord. Hallelujah. We come against every demonic attack that would try to tear down what you put together in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, and we be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to give a brief introduction to myself. I'll allow my wife to do the same here momentarily before we actually delve into the slide presentation. Praise God. But I want to say this first and foremost, that this is a ministry that the Lord really impregnated my wife with, divorced but restored, divorced but restored. Now, I want to ask before we even begin, how many people in here have been divorced? If you have been divorced, raise your hands. All right. Oh, If you hold, just hold up. If you don't mind, hold your hand for a moment, please. Me and my wife, we include it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, thank you so much. Now, if we did a tally of how many people are in here, then I can tell you right now, to me, it almost looks like, honey, 50%, if not 45% of people in this room have been divorced. All right? So, first and foremost, we understand that divorce is real and something that happens even amongst born-again believers. I want to tell you a little something about myself, and then I'm going to give the mic to my wife, Freya. Of course, my name is Rodney Huffman. Once again, I go by Rod. If you were here last night, you'll find out the reason why I go by Rod is because my wife's ex-husband's name is Rodney, too. And she didn't want to have another Rodney in her life, so she said, I just go by Rod. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So my name is Rodney Huffman. I am a 21-year Air Force veteran. Amen. Still serving active duty in the Air Force. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So I'm in the man's army, but I'm also in the army of the Lord. Amen. I am an ordained minister, been ordained, licensed and ordained since 1995. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm a church planter. Amen. I planted four churches as the Lord has moved me from one city to another city, one state to another state. Amen. God has enabled me to plant churches along the way. One in Montgomery, Alabama, one in Valdosta, Georgia, and one in Cocoa, Florida. And now I still serve as the overseer of the church in Cocoa, Florida. New Destiny. Look at her destiny. New Destiny Community Church. Amen. In Cocoa, Florida. Now, I want to say this. The people who are talking to you today, your presenters this morning, we were not in a relationship for 2 minutes and jumped out of it. So what I'm saying is we are not, first of all, advocating divorce. I want to go on the record saying this ministry is not about us being the preachers. We don't want to become known as the preachers who are going around advocating for folks to get divorced. We're not trying to give you a reason to go find a reason to go get a divorce. My first relationship, amen, I first got married at 18 years old, got married to my high school sweetheart, was married 1 week after high school graduation. Amen. You know, I was saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled at the age of 18, just knew I had to do what was right in the sight of the Lord, did not want to live a life of fornication. Amen. We had a little small house church there, praise God, and it was just a few handful of young people. I said, God, I want to live holy. I want to live right before you. And amen. And so me and this young lady, we met and we got married a week after high school graduation. And 21 years later, we said I do. But then 21 years later, we found our relationship had come to an end. 21 years, church planting, 21 years, amen, having children, 21 years, amen, glory to God, praying and fasting and seeking God to change things, 21 years, amen. So that's a little about me. I'm going to give the mic to my wife now, Freya, and let her introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. Just a little background about myself as well. I got married after college to my college sweetheart. And we thought it was going to last forever. I had one child going into the relationship, and we had two kids together, so we had three that we raised. And it was our goal to stay married and live for the Lord, and we were in ministry as well. And it just didn't happen. And we're going to get into those things, but I prayed, I cried, I fasted, everything you could think of to hold on. Because I'm a spiritual woman, because that's what we do. We hold on. And we should. However, I teach a customer service class, and we say, don't say the boo-haws. That's the but, unfortunately, however, although. That means something else is coming after that. So the boo-ha moment was, however, it did not last. And I tried, and I prayed, and I did everything. And I tried to, my best friend walked through me with this thing, and she said, girl, you tried it all. You tried to be spiritual, secular, whatever, without sinning, but whatever, because I always say, I can't compete with the streets. Because, you know, I call her Delilah Jezebel. She's lurking. And so it was a challenge, but I tried. To the point where, and we'll get into these things, where I felt the Lord led me to do what I needed to do. And it was tough. And so that's my testimony. I've been ministering for a while in the prisons, witnessing team. And also at my church for years and years and years, but it was tough. And we're going to get into those things. So we love the Lord, but we're here today to encourage you through what we've gone through. And again, our main focus is to restoration unto the Lord, not to another relationship, but unto the Lord. Amen. And we don't condone divorce. Boo-ha. But unfortunately, however, although life happens. Amen. Okay.
All right, so we have this slide presentation, and we're going to get ready to dive into that. Pull that up. All right. Gave a quick introduction as to who we are. It's coming up. All right, there we go. All right, so divorce but restored, finding healing after brokenness, finding healing after brokenness. Now, my wife just said a moment ago, when we say restored, we talk about restoration. We're not talking about necessarily you getting remarried, because how many of you all know that God, when you were born, God made you whole. He did not create anything that was broken. So when we talk about being restored, we're talking about being restored back to God. We're talking about allowing God to heal you, allowing God to fix you the way he wants you and he intends for you to be fixed. So finding healing after brokenness, of course, Pastor Rodney Huffman and my wife, Evangelist Freya. Amen. And, of course, that beautiful lady. Y'all know who that beautiful lady is to the right. Amen. Praise the Lord. We go to the next slide in the name of the Lord. And what are we going to do now? This is our first presentation doing this together. It's first time we've done this together, so we're going to bounce off each other. Is that all right? I'll be handing the mic to my wife, and she'll hand it back to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you all are our guinea pig session in the name of the Lord. So here's the overview. Here's what we're going to deal with. You want to tell them, baby, what we're going to talk about?
All right. We're going to talk about the beauty of marriage. We wanted to get married for a reason, right, when we did it the first time around. And when you say I do, we're sure you meant it, and we did, too, the first time around. And God hates divorce, and yet he understands it happens. I didn't say boo-ha, I said and. God, he forgives divorcees too, amen? We're going to get some freedom today in that, amen? Amen. We're going to prepare for the aftermath. Did we tell y'all we were ministers and we got divorced? What do you think the church said to us? Ooh, amen. Dating again. This is mine, rebound relationships. I'm ready to go in on that one. Helpful tools before you say I do again. We want to prepare you if you're seeking God for that mate. How do you get prepared for the next time, okay? And again, you're restored. Again, to who are you restored to? To God, amen.
Okay, so we talk about the beauty of marriage, the beauty of marriage. How many of y'all know, first of all, that marriage is a sacred covenant between man, woman, and God? Amen. Marriage is a three-way street, not a one-way street, not a two-way street. Amen. It's a three-way street, a covenant between man, God, and a woman. Now, notice what I said. Number one, I said God is definitely involved in the marriage, number one. He's the author of marriage, and not only is he the author of marriage, praise the Lord, but marriage is between a man and a woman, not a woman and a woman. And not a man and a man. We're talking about marriage God's way, okay? Amen. So marriage is a sacred covenant, a covenant, an agreement. An agreement, praise the Lord. When you and I said, I do, I'm talking, even in our previous relationship, okay, we said I do, and then we were saying it not only to our ex-spouse, but also to the Lord as well. Number two, marriage was God's answer to solve man's loneliness. The Bible says that God saw that man was alone, and he said it's not good for man to be alone, but I will make for him a helpmeet. Amen. So God, marriage, amen, was God's answer to solve man's loneliness. All right. Marriage is also a partnership. You want to talk about somebody? Marriage is a partnership. I'm good. Marriage is a partnership. All right. So, you know, when you said I do. You were saying I do, and I was saying I do to somebody who I really believe was going to be my lifelong partner. I don't want to say in crime. Amen. Partner in grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we said, when we said I do, hey, man, we had in mind that, hey, we're going to do things together. We're going to live life together. We're going to, do the work of the Lord together. But, marriage is a partnership. It's a beautiful thing. It is a partnership. Amen. And all this marriage, a partnership, But marriage is God's way for people to make more of us. That's an easy way of saying procreation, right? Amen. Marriage is the way that God intended for a man and a woman to get together and have some babies. He told them, go be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And may I just put it, I'm going to insert this in here, and I'm going to do it. And, you know, anything that God is involved in reproduces. It is productive. Nature teaches us that if something does not produce, then it is not of God. That's why when Jesus saw the sycamore tree and it wasn't producing, he said, you're cursed because you're not doing what you intended to do. A homosexual relationship can't produce. If everybody today, just think about this now, and don't get me wrong, we're going to talk about here in a moment ago, there's no one big sin over another sin. God hates all sins. So I'm not bashing homosexuality this morning, but here's why I'm saying, just like divorce is not God's will, homosexuality is not God's will, lying is not God's will, fornication is not God's will, amen? If everybody became a homosexual today, and we just said, men are going to be with men, women are going to be with women, then guess what? There would be no more procreation. Amen? So that's how we know it's not God's will. All right? Marriage is God's way for us to make more of us. But not only that, it represents Christ's relationship and the church. Amen? It represents Christ's relationship and the church. The Bible declares that it's a mystery. Amen. How a man and woman can come together. Amen. Become one even as after God impregnates us with his spirit. Amen. Glory to God. We become one with God. We become one with Jesus Christ. So marriage is a beautiful thing, and it's meant to be not for 1 year, not for 2 years, not to be a Vegas, a one-night stand in Vegas, but it's meant to be for life. It's meant to be for life. And we're going to talk about this in a moment because I know many of you, when you, your first time, and I want to ask this question as well. I saw it was about almost 45% of people in here who have already gone through a divorce, but how many of you all have since been remarried? Raise your hand. Okay. So only four. Okay. We can get some statistics here. All right. So it's meant to be for life. Here's some scripture references. Baby, you want to read it? Some scripture references?
All right. So the first one comes from Genesis 21 through 25. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman.
Whoa, man.
Because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
Amen.
It's a show called that now, too. I don't know why that came.
Amen.
And then Genesis 1:27 and 28. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
Amen. So we see here a couple of things. Number one, we see that we already talked about God said that it's not good for man to dwell alone. So he said, I'm going to make him a helpmeet, right? And now we see here the execution of that vision by God putting Adam to sleep, amen, and taking a rib from him, from his side, clothing it with flesh. And once he clothed it with flesh, he stepped back and said, whoa, man. God was the first one to call a woman fine. Adam didn't get a chance to say she was fine because God said, this is woman and it is good. Amen. Am I in the book, y'all? I'm in the book here now. Amen. So God was the first one. I tell my wife this all the time. I said, girl, God called you fine before I could call you fine. Now I'm going to call you fine. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we got some scripture references here. And God told them to go be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, all dominion. I wish we had, you know, like I said, God gave this woman to God the vision for this seminar. And really, we could take one or two of these slides and we could do a whole day on just one or two slides. Because I would love to talk to you about dominion. I would love to be able to talk to you. We would love to be able to talk to you about, not just being fruitful from a natural standpoint, but also being fruitful from a spiritual standpoint. Because it is the will of God for a man and woman to be equally yoked, to be able to also spiritually reproduce. Amen? Hallelujah. We'll go to the next one.
So when you said I do, we're sure you meant it. We did too. So a sane person doesn't go into a relationship and say, I'm going to get married today, and then I quit.
That's right.
Okay? We all have some sense here. We all have emotions. Something led us to a relationship.
That's right. Amen.
We did what we could to stay in it, work it out. So we don't want to quit. We want to fight it out, tough it out. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So wedding day. I've had two weddings. I have big weddings. I don't know why. It starts off small in my head. It becomes into this grandiose production. Just ask Pastor Brenda and EB. So, and it was work, but I'm a project manager and I like projects.
Yes, she does.
And I love people, and I wanted my second marriage to really celebrate restoration.
Amen.
For my life. I was really excited. We still had to go home after all that. We still had to get along, amen?
Amen.
Our wedding day is just something we do to celebrate with the public. But we know we have to go home and live this life. And even in the first marriage, again, it was my intent. Like, Lord, we're going to have some bumps in the road. And it's going to be tough, but we're going to pray. I'm going to fast. And I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do as a wife. And I'm going to keep their attention. And I'm going to make everything so good here they can't look anywhere else. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But, again, I say I can't compete with the streets. If the streets got something that I can't compete with, then, Lord, I don't know what to do. Amen.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I prayed a lot. My best friend and I, we always say, girl, your life is a lifetime story. It is. She said, you know, you prayed, you fasted. We prayed together. She gave me tips, and I cried, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I cried, and I went to church, and I fasted, and I sold, and, you know, all the stuff you do to get your prayers answered, to change somebody else. But do you know that you have to be equally yoked?
Amen.
So one
Amen.
Of the revelations that God gave Freya personally, okay, maybe you already know, but this is just my own slow self because I'm slow sometimes, is that it takes the other person to be committed as well.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Also, you can be Christians but unequally yoked. That was my own personal revelation, unequally yoked Christians.
Amen.
We both have the label, huh? Mm-hmm. But are they as sold out as you? And I know women, I know we extra. You know, we go in for the Lord. You know, Karen took us in this morning. That's what we do. We labor. We travail. That's all good. That's good. We should. So it doesn't make our man less spiritual if they're not going hard like us. However, when I'm saying equally yoked as well, I'm talking about behavior, okay, that you all aren't agreeing with, and you're trying to hold it together. You can't overlook stuff, women. You can't overlook things.
Amen.
If it's bringing harm to you, your house, your body, whatever, you got to pay attention. You can't be my mama liked to say a doormat now. She's from Waynesboro, Georgia. I'm not going to be a doormat for nobody. But even beyond that, you know, we forgive, and we've forgiven a lot, because who are we not to forgive because God forgave us?
Amen.
We should.
Amen.
Boo-ha. But unfortunately, however, although, things happen where it drives a divorce. I remember having to text Pastor Brenda and say, I got a divorce. This is Pastor Brenda's favorite line, all is well. On everything. I'm like, really? The divorce?
Like, you have some agreement.
All is well. All the time. I was telling my husband the other day, something I had to mention to you about something. She said, all is well. But what she was saying, it is. It's all well with the Lord. A lot of times we beat up on ourselves more than we beat up on, we allow ourselves to be beat up, and we beat up ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Divorce is too painful for non-divorced people to understand. I know you care, non-divorcees, and really you don't know what to say. Because you used to brother and sister being together as one, you talking to them, hey, brother, sister, how you doing, brother, sister? And now sister's over here, brother's over there, and you're really weirded out by it because you love them both and you don't know what to do. It's not your fault, but you probably don't understand. Continue to show the love of Christ, even though one may want you to choose sides.
Amen.
You don't do that, amen?
Amen. And if I could just also just kind of hit home some points here as well. Of course, no sane person says I do with the intent of saying I quit, you know, going down there to the altar today and in mind, while you're saying I do, you know, I'm going to be getting a divorce here in the next few years, a few months or what have you. I want to say this. May I make my little confession real quick? As an ordained pastor, I really had a hard time and I did not know how to deal with divorcees. I felt like people who got divorced were, in a sense, failing God. That's my confession. Confession is good for the soul. You know, when I would deal with brothers, I would talk to brothers, man, there's no way in the world you can be unfaithful to your wife and going really hard. You know, there's no way in the world you're going to get a divorce. You got to stick it out. You got to hang in there. And I tell you what, that drove that last bullet. Divorce is too painful for non-divorced people to understand. Because how many of you all know that a divorce is worse than a death? Because when someone dies, at least you bury them and you put them away. But when you divorce, you constantly have to see the person. A lot of times if you have children, you still have to interact with your ex-spouse. And I didn't understand this. As a 20-year minister, church planner, overseer, I didn't understand that. Really, non-divorced people can't understand. I could try to understand my wife, and Lord knows I try. But you know what? As a man, I really can't understand everything about a woman. I can buy my books. We have our books. She's going to talk to you about some of our books. Amen. But and she can't understand everything about me as a man or relate to me as a man totally because she's not a man. And so if a person has not gone through a divorce, they really can't understand fully what you're going through. Amen. Or what you've gone through. I want to hit this point home really hard, and we're going to talk about this when we deal with the church, because the church, a lot of times, Pastor, and I've been there, we really look at divorcees as, man, you know, those people, why can they make it work? You know, this is a covenant. They should have stuck it out. You know, maybe they just prayed some more. Girl, you need to go fast some more. No, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Glory to God. On the wedding day, it was a dream come true, but something happened. Once again, 21-year relationship. She and her ex around 17, what, 17 years around? 12 married and 5 dating, college years, amen? 17 years. So we're not talking about somebody who just came in a relationship, we're telling you two years later. No, we've experienced marriage. We're newlyweds right now. We've only been married, thank God, Pastor Frewster and a few others came and witnessed our ceremony last year, we've been married, going on 2 years in April, praise God. We're newlyweds. We still honeymooning. Y'all see those Facebook pictures? We going everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Ready for this conference to be over so I go honeymoon some more. I ain't saying it like that. I'm just. She said, you so mannish. Amen. Praise the Lord. We still on our honeymoon. But what I'm saying is to you all is that something happened. What do you do when you're being beat black and blue? And I'm not just talking about sisters. What do you do when your spouse is on drugs and he or she is causing your children to lie, steal, and cheat and not go to school and causing your career to almost be come to an end? What do you do when unfaithfulness or adultery takes place? And I'm not just talking about one time, but I'm talking about, and that's bad as well, but I'm talking about repetitively. You're praying, you're trying to convince that spouse to stop and the spouse does not stop. What do you do? What do you do when some of the issues are things that the Bible is silent on as it relates to divorce? That's the hard one. Because everybody knows that, oh, adultery, yeah, I got my little green card. I can get a divorce. It was adultery. But the Bible never tells a sister you can leave your husband if you're being beat black and blue. It never tells a husband you can leave your spouse if your spouse on drugs and it's causing your children to get strung out. and about to ruin your career or ruin the family. It doesn't say that. So what do you do? Amen. What do you do? Why didn't your prayers in the marriage work, or really did they? I love what the pastor said last night, because some of us prayed. My wife said a moment ago, she said, I prayed.
I fasted too.
And I
turned down the plate.
Amen. She turned down the plate. I turned it down too. And I'm quite sure many of you as well. But God's given somebody called, he's given each and every one of us something called free will. And we're going to talk about that here some more in a moment. Amen. God hates divorce, and yet he understands it. You want to talk about this, baby? You want me to talk about it?
He hates divorce.
That's right.
We're not going to negate the word of God. We're not going to try to make it fit our situation
not.
To make us right.
Amen.
He hates divorce.
Amen.
Period. In the Bible, he was really specific about adultery and a divorce. Amen?
Amen.
So that lets us know that he hated it, yet he allowed it. Amen?
Amen.
Under that specific circumstance.
Amen. But you know, God hates divorce, but not only does God hate divorce, but he hates all other sins too. It's amazing how the church, you know, we grab a hold of certain sins and we make one sin bigger than the other sin. Now, don't get me wrong. All sin, first of all, the word of God says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. God hates all sins. Praise the Lord. And there's one scripture in the book of Proverbs where the Bible says, talk about the abominations and how we say homosexuality is an abomination, and it is. But how many of y'all know it's also an abomination to have a proud look?
Amen.
Oh, come on, let's talk about it some. We don't preach on this. It's also an abomination for a brother to sow discord amongst another brother. Mm. A sister. That's an abomination. That's the A word, too, in the word of God. Amen. So God hates all sin. Yeah, he hates divorce. I'm going to tell you, divorce is terrible. I would not wish divorce on my worst enemy. Divorce, it does something to the kid's psyche. Divorce makes you not trust the way you ought to trust until God delivers you going into another relationship. I can tell you off the top right now, the innocent form of trust I had as an 18-year-old in my first relationship is not the same form of trust I have as a 40-some-year-old now being in the relationship with my wife and vice versa. Are you understand what I'm saying? Are we being real here now? But I have to trust her. That's where I have to speak to myself, say, this is the woman of God God has given me. And this is not my ex-spouse. Come on, somebody. I'm going to trust this woman of God. I'm not going to be over her shoulder. I'm not going to be trying to break a passcode, even though I'm a cyber.
I've broken passcodes in the past. I'm an IT person as
we're
well.
Both IT
I don't do that anymore. I'm delivered.
She's been delivered. I pray she has been.
I am delivered.
Amen. So, trust. I'm going to trust her. She's going to trust me. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to move on. Amen. But God understands divorce better than any of us ever can. How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all knew that third bullet? Even God had to get a divorce. How many people did not know God got a divorce? Raise your hands.
I didn't know that before.
How many of y'all did not know that God got a divorce? The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 8, due to Israel's unrepentant heart, they committed adultery from the standpoint of a spiritual adultery, going after other gods. God got to a point. He got fed up. Now we talk about God, whose mercies are renewed every day. He got to a point. He says, "I'm giving Israel a bill of divorcement." Now he did give. He also gave a caveat to say, if she would repent and come back, I'll receive her back. The Bible says that we should. God has given each one of us a measure of grace. God's given each one of us a measure of grace. And it says, live peaceably with all men as much as lie within you, especially those of the household of faith. Let me tell you something. I never tell anybody, Pastor Frewster. I've had brothers come to me saying, man, I'm frustrated. My wife's on drugs. She's stealing all the money. My house is going down. She's being abusive to the kids. And I'm telling you, go on and on. And it seems like it's a very good case. But I never tell anybody, go get a divorce. That's not for us. We're not up here to tell you that. And we're going to talk about here in a moment about you having to seek God for yourself and get a release. Even my old in-laws, And they're still my, it's like family. They know me since I'm 18 years old. For 20 some years, it's like my family, right? They were saying get a divorce from their own family member. But you can't move unless God tell you to move. Amen. Let's go to the next slide, babe.
And God forgives divorcees too.
Amen. Amen.
So I know y'all think divorce might be the biggest sin that can't be forgiven, but it's not. Amen.
Amen.
So there's only one sin that can't be forgiven, and it's not divorce.
Amen.
Repent. Now, two people in a relationship, let's just say one messes up. It's all their fault. Amen. Do you know both of you, if you've gone through a divorce, still need to repent?
Amen.
That was a vow you made to the Lord.
Amen.
And so there has to be repentance on both sides. Amen.
Amen.
Also, forgive your ex.
Amen.
Okay. Go ahead and get it out of your system. Remember, we're saying this is divorce, but restore it back to the Lord. Restore it back to wholeness. Not to a relationship. Not to another relationship. We'll get to that when you're ready for that. But forgive yourself. Forgive your ex. You can't move on because God says you have to forgive anyway. Even though they may have done you so wrong.
That's right.
You got the proof. I could have been a lawyer. I'm serious. I'm good with proof. I like my highlighters. I got my yellow highlighter. I got my call logs. You called them 11 times. You called me 3 times. I can filter on my Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. I'm going too far. I'm being real. But you got to forgive yourself. Forgive them. In the midst of the marriage, the first marriage, I forgave.
Amen. Talk about it.
And I forgave again. I'm going to make a song about it. And I forgave again. That's what we do, okay? But forgive yourself. There's a shame that comes upon you if you ever go through a divorce.
Oh,
if you've been through it,
absolutely.
It's hard to walk into church. We'll get to that.
Amen.
But it's a shame. But forgive yourself. And receive God's forgiveness. Get rid of the guilt, okay? Remember the woman caught in adultery? They put her on Front Street.
Amen.
Didn't they? Put in front of everybody.
Amen.
Called her out. Thank God for our Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo, woo.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just want to hit home also, if I can, piggyback on a few things here. There's only one sin that can't be forgiven. How many of y'all know what that one sin is? I heard it. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the only one sin in the whole Bible.
Okay.
The Bible says, the Lord says that I will not forgive. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. So divorce can't be forgiven. And God does forgive those who had to experience the tragedy of divorce. If you could go back one more, babe. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the other one real quick. Mm-hmm. The previous one. Repentance. Having a change of mind. Repentance is not just asking God for forgiveness. A lot of times when people think about repentance, Pastor, they think about, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But repentance means to have a change of mind, to turn, to do a 180. So the reason why it's key to repent is because guess what? If God would desire for you to have another relationship or another marriage, you have to have a change within yourself, or otherwise you're going to take the same baggage that
Amen.
You had in the old relationship into
Amen.
The new relationship. So you have to truly, truly repent. Forgive your ex. Forgive yourself. Amen. Praise God. That's a whole chapter. Amen. Glory to God. That's a whole chapter. If you don't forgive, you can't forgive what you're still tied to.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, here's my point. If you can't forgive your ex, you're still married to your ex.
Mm. Got to break that soul tie.
That's exactly where I'm going. That means you still have a soul tie to that ex if you can't forgive that. If that ex is still able to get under your collar and make there's still something there, and you have to be delivered of that. Amen. Forgive yourself. Forgive your ex. And receive God's forgiveness. Get rid of the guilt. Get rid of the shame. Hallelujah. He who the Son set free is free indeed. Amen.
Okay. And also, I know we're talking about divorce, but also when I came up with this, the Holy Spirit gave me this. I text Pastor Brenda. I always text her. I said, God gave me this conference called Divorce But Restored. I don't know what it looks like, but I mean, this was about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. She said, that'll preach.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't know how it was going to come, and I didn't know it was going to be after I got married. I thought I'd probably be doing it as a single person. I didn't know I was going to do it because I wasn't saying being restored to a man per se, but to God. I need to be whole. But also, if you're single and you've been in a long-term relationship, can I tell you, and if you know it's not a God, God wants you to divorce that as well. I'm just going to drop that on my singles right there and let that marinate,
amen,
okay?
Amen,
amen. Yeah, yeah. Because if you're seeking God and you have all these soul ties from old relationships, you can't be who you need to be,
amen,
for God who has for you. Amen?
Amen, amen.
Another topic, but I just need to drop it. Okay, the church. Some of my best friends, I got a granddaughter, she loves to say, she tells me, you're my best friend.
And
she tells Papa Rod, you're my best friend.
That's right.
Some of my best friends were in the church. And I thank God for those real people. But those people on the outer edges who you think are, you had those real relationships with, but they're really surface. I can't say it was intentional, but they didn't know how to receive me as a divorcee. This is Sister Freya. Sister Freya, I got your back. What ministry are you going? Oh, you going to prison ministry? I got you. I'll be your partner for today. This is Sister Freya. You need somebody to nurse her. I'm going to lock down. I got the nursery held it down for 4 years, me and my daughter. Oh, this is Sister Freya. You want children's church? I got you. I'll build your curriculum. Wherever you need me, I get in where I fit in. I serve. I'm faithful. I serve. I'm faithful. I'm doing it to the Lord. And then I go through this. Boom. And then it goes quiet.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm looking for people.
That's right.
Say, you okay? Are you all good? I'm looking for people to check on me. I'm looking for people. I'm looking for my help.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Where is my help, Lord? I'm looking for folks that I've even talked to myself and prayed for because they've gone through. Amen.
Amen.
I can't find them. And the church, is, sadly, doesn't know how to deal with it. And you feel it.
Amen.
I started
Amen.
Going to another church. My church didn't do anything wrong, but they couldn't help me. I had to go to another church.
That's
me and
right.
my kids, we were divorced. Me and the kids were divorced. It was a divorce.
Amen.
We were trying to figure all this out. We Amen. Had to go get healing from somewhere else.
Amen.
You want to take the next one?
If God has released you from a toxic marriage, then you are released. I want to emphasize the word released. Because remember earlier we said that marriage is a three-way street. It's a three-way covenant. It's a covenant between you, your spouse, and God. So your spouse can be saying, your spouse can have all covered every violation of scripture in the book to give you a reason to divorce. But unless God gives you a release, then it's not time for you to go. Are y'all understand what I'm saying to you? As I said before, in my previous relationship, I had even my ex's family saying, bro, how you going to let her keep doing this right here? How you going to let her do this? Man, you should have been divorced like 15 years ago. I heard what they were saying, but what is God saying? Because, see, I'm going to have to give an account to God. None of them are going to be, I'm not going to have to stand before any of them. And so once again, what we're saying here, though, this morning then, is that once God gives you that release, once you've heard from God, the Bible doesn't talk about a sister being beat, black and blue. What do you do when the church tells you to hang in there, just ice your face, get some Motrin and put some makeup on and come on to church? What do you do? Amen. Glory to God. I don't want to, I'm not going to say any names, but we know that there are, even popular ministers who have died of drug overdoses, addictions, and things of that nature. And what do you do when you see your spouse going through this? Amen. Glory to God. Or continuously, cheating, and bring a disease to you. What do you do? Amen. When God gives you a release, you are released, praise the Lord, from that toxic marriage. And you should not let anyone hold you in guilt and shame. The next bullet, please. You want to deal with that one? Or you want to deal with it?
Give people time to digest it, but don't hold them in your bondage, guilt, and shame. Release them. Sometimes, you're hurting, but you have to break the ice.
Amen.
And then they'll be like, oh, I meant to call you. I meant to reach out. They just didn't have the words. One of the things we really want to do in building this curriculum is encourage, help churches help divorcees, how to receive people.
Amen. That's right.
Because they're looking to you, the spiritual folk, to be there. Because they were that person too. So we got to be able to go up to them and say, not trying to get in your business, just want to let you know I'm praying. And I had somebody, one of my sisters, email, and I told her that meant so much. She said, I'm very sorry to hear it, but she said, I'm here for you. That's all it took. I wasn't by myself. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How much time do we have, Pastor? 10 o'clock? 15 more minutes? Okay, thank you. 15 more minutes. Okay, so now, Give people time to digest your divorce. My wife just said, but don't allow them to hold you in bondage, guilt, and shame. It's going to take some time. Some people are going to, I'm telling you right now, some of the ones you thought would be there for you. I'm going to tell you, I had people who were telling me, you know, you need to stick it out. You need to stick it out. I mean, there was some stuff that going on. I'm not going to get into it right now. God haven't given me the release to go into it. But I'm going to tell you right now, people with just common sense would say, I'm gone. All right. And so there were periods of separation, legal separation. Okay, I go so far as to say that there were some things that the court said, no, y'all need to be separated because somebody's gonna get killed. All right, but the church was still saying, no, you need to go back. 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 Oh, you need to accept her back. You need to accept her back. And guess what I did? I accepted her back. And things got worse. It got worse. To the point, finally, I said, you know what, God, this is not your will. And God said, I give you the release. And now guess what? A year, you know, sometime later, years later, now after they had to deal with her, they said, oh, we understand. We understand. But the truth, or it just takes time, the truth has come out. Well, you know what? That's your truth. My truth happened 15 years ago. Hallelujah. My truth happened 15 years ago. You just catching up. I'm glad you caught up. And that leads me to the next bullet. Sometimes folks won't catch up, so don't be afraid to let go. Sometimes God will give you a whole new circle of friends. Amen. Don't allow anyone to hold you in your past, because you can't go forward looking back.
Amen.
Amen.
And remember, your release was from God, not man. Don't look for man's approval. This is tough. But you got to do it, because if not, you'll stay stuck. You'll wait for validation from everybody. You okay that I got divorced? You okay? You okay that I got divorced? Are you okay? You okay that I got divorced? You okay? You okay? Are you okay? And then you'll be waiting on everybody else's approval, and you'll be stuck like Chuck.
Amen.
As you all know, my personality, I'm an extrovert. It's no secret. I love people. I love to talk. Really?
Say it's not so.
And then my ex-spouse was an introvert. You know, not so much extrovert, but real cool, everything, very likable as well. But can I tell you, because of my extrovertness, it was like it must be Freya's fault.
Okay? Amen, amen.
Even if it was my fault, okay? Because one thing we, even when we got together, we told each other our flaws.
Amen.
Like amen. This right here might have been an issue, and this could have been an issue, and this is my button and my red flag, and we'll get into some of that later. But not trying to say one person's more right or wrong, but there's something that led to our divorce.
Amen, that's right.
But what got me, and I was so tripped out on, was, so y'all really just thought it was me for real just because I'm more extrovert? Really? Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit told me, don't say anything, don't tell it. Keep it on the low. Seriously. Cover, okay? It costs, I'm doing a message on this, the cost of coverage, but it costs to cover.
Amen.
Because you want to talk, flesh want to talk, flesh want to tell it all.
Amen.
Everybody.
Amen.
And Holy Spirit says, shut it up, shut it down, pray. Mm-hmm. And so when the Lord was telling me to do that, and I was, even my family was kind of looking at me kind of funny. I'm like, but y'all know me longer than y'all know him. The truth had to come out later.
Amen.
They had to get used to the adjustment. Can I tell you, some people just want to see the you and them together. That's what they're stuck on.
Amen. Amen.
And so it's hard for them because of that.
Amen.
Okay, so again, you make sure you get your release from the Lord.
Amen.
Y'all like the graphics. These keep you awake. The twist and the turn animations keep you awake.
It's yours, baby.
Okay. Y'all know I played basketball in college and high school and middle school. I love basketball. But I'm not talking about a rebound in basketball.
Amen.
I'm talking about a rebound relationship.
That's right.
When you go through a breakup, a divorce, even a relationship breakup, and you've been with someone for a while, you're tied to them. You did activities together and sports together. And you did all kind of things. And your lives were intertwined. And that breaks, okay? But then, you're on the market, if you will, and Brother Bobo, he got to be Brother Bobo, y'all, because he ain't the right one. I need him to be Brother Bobo. Brother Bobo approaches you, And you think that's who you're supposed to be with. Amen? Amen. Y'all don't have to tell me if you met Brother Bobo. Keep it to yourself. And Brother Bobo might look good on the outside. And Brother Bobo, in the first step, might do whatever and sound good, conversation good, and say the right things, and they're there for you, and you're so beautiful, and you all that, and I just don't know why the joker didn't appreciate you, and you know, got your ears tingling, like, yeah, that's what I was trying to say, too. And you keep going a little further, and you probably think you're supposed to be dating Brother Bobo, so you start dating, amen? And then you realize at some point, hey, wait, where the spiritual stuff at? What? I thought you was a praying person, and I thought you had you had about four scriptures when I met you. Okay, where all this coming from? I mean, what's this going on over here? This is not godly. These are your red flags.
Amen.
Before a rebound, when you shoot a basketball, I told you I love to shoot basketball, had a form like I used to. But if you make the shot, it goes in.
That's right.
But if you hit it off the backboard or the rim, it deflects, it goes anywhere. A relationship, a rebound relationship can be the same way. If you're not careful, you'll get stuck. And that short relationship will turn into something long, and you weren't even supposed to be in the first place because you hadn't got healed. A rebound comes off real quick. So if you just got a divorce, you need to chill. You need to rest in the Lord. You need to get whole by yourself. You don't need to be talking to nobody but Jesus. Amen. Before I met him, I used to date myself. I used to go on my phone dates. That's when you're at the table by yourself playing on your phone, your apps. I love phone dates. I love Olive Garden, so I used to do all of them there. I go to movies. I love skating. I started skating again. I started dating myself, and I enjoyed me. I like me. I'm having fun with me.
Amen.
And when it was the weekend visitation, I used to get depressed when the kids left. It got to a point where it was like, bye, y'all. Love you. See you later. Mama, we don't want to go. I said, y'all will be all right. I started dating myself. I did. I had to enjoy Freya again.
Amen.
But I had to be careful of a rebound relationship. Amen.
Amen.
Because that would be something that you'll try to make permanent, and it's not.
That's right.
Period. And you have to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment and wisdom. Is this the person you have for me, Lord? I'm going to tell you what I said. Because I was in a rebound relationship for a minute. I said, Lord, now this is when you know you for real. I said, Lord, if this is not the person for me, because even in a rebound relationship, the woman can be clingy because they want something. Harden his heart against me like you did, yeah, like Pharaoh did you for Israel. That's what I said.
Amen.
And that's what he did. They started dissing me, acting cold. Thank you, Lord. That's my sign. Because women, we hang on. Because you know we know how to pray it fast for anything, don't we? And God broke it, and I love it in Jesus' name. That's the best thing he could have done for me, because look who I got now. So please trust God, not your emotions. Women are emotional. We've just been through something. So if somebody comes along with the right words, the right thing, huh, reminiscing. And why people from your past love to come up? I changed my Facebook status to single, and a friend of mine way back from school, and we dated for a minute in college because that wasn't the one either, said, you know, I had a dream about you last night. Sent me a message on Facebook. I'm like, where did this come from? I was like, oh, the Facebook status. So watch your past trying to chase you and catch up with you. This is your past for a reason. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And be aware of predators. There are people that prey on people that have been hurt. And not just through a divorce, but all kind of hurts. But if you're not whole, you're not going to recognize it. You're going to think that's who you're supposed to be with. Some people are predators, and you find out later, don't marry the predator either.
Amen.
Because you're talking about a divorce. It will be quick and fast, because you're going to see the true colors come out. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So now we're getting ready to wrap it up here in a moment. I want to give you a few minutes to take, you know, ask any questions you have it, have them. But we want to give you some helpful tools before you say I do again. Now, I told you I'm a church planter. I'm a pastor, ordained minister, 20 years. And I tell you, one of the tools my wife and I, we found in our dating is a tool called the Hartman's Color Code. I know, of course, we know the Bible. Number one, the Bible, the Word of God, is the ultimate tool to guide us and you know, in how we should engage in a relationship. But I also wanted to give you a tool called the Hartman's Color Code. I think we have that link on the next slide. We don't have to go there now yet, babe. But the Hartman's Color Code, write that down, because I'm gonna tell you right now, that Hartman's Color Code profile will help you. It will help you understand who you are, and I promise you, it's going to help you understand the person you are. You're looking to date, or perhaps marry. I've never seen anything like it. Okay, the Hartman's Color Code, amen. You want to definitely write that down. It breaks it down. You know, I'm a blue, Freya's a red. It says that we shouldn't get married. Did y'all catch that? If you look at her personality, my personality is like, you know what? We both control freaks. We both power driven. You know, it's no, y'all, you need somebody who kind of funny. You know, but you want to look at that, because it will, I promise you won't, you will not regret it. The next one, the five love languages.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to interject one more. Yes, if you're dating, if you're thinking about marriage, take that color code real quick, real fast. It helps us in our arguments, because we argue. So it helps us. He'll say, you acting like a red. I say, you acting like a blue. And we know what that means, because they're the do's and don'ts. So I know what to do, what not to do. I got it. I got the rules. Sometimes I don't follow them. That's when the Holy Spirit has to get me, and him too.
Not me.
However, it helps us big time to understand each other.
Amen.
And it helps us to see, even if we were dealing with our exes, how we could have dealt with each other better.
Amen.
So I'm telling you, that helps me with my personality. You need to take it with the quickness. Just take it for yourself to understand yourself, okay? That color code. So I'm just emphasizing.
Amen.
Don't skip past that one. Spend some time on the weekend with your loved one and get ready.
Amen. If there's one thing you take away from this whole thing, that's the one thing we want you to take away. The Hartman color code. Okay, you want to go take that profile thing, you know, find out about yourself first, what color you are, and then it's going to enable you to clearly, you know, go forward before you engage in a relationship. Okay, understand the other person better, because you understand yourself better. Okay, five love languages, Gary Chapman. How many of y'all have heard of that before? Gary Chapman, amen, praise the Lord. I use that in my marriage counseling as well. These are two tools I use in my marriage counseling. How to Say I'm Sorry, also by Gary Chapman. May not be entitled just that, but it's talking about five ways to say I'm sorry, something to that effect. Five ways to how you should say I'm sorry. Okay, one person may just simply say, if you say I'm sorry, that's good enough for me. The other person may want you to actually show them you're sorry by doing a certain act. Okay, that's a blessing by Gary Chapman as well. Then we have the author, babe?
Stormy Armashin, Power of Praying Woman, Power of Praying Man. I read both books. I keep them in the bathroom. I read both, because I need to know how he praying for me, and I'm praying for him, of course. But amen. I need to know what that book's saying about me. So read both of them. Amen.
Amen. We go to the next slide, babe. All right. So we are wrapping it up. We are wrapping it up, and we want to definitely give you an opportunity for questions. I think we have like 3 or 4 minutes. Any questions at all? Any questions? Yes, ma'am, Pastor. Yes, ma'am.
Did the church ever come into the place of restoring, even whether it's individually or
absolutely.
Whether it restored you together?
Amen.
We want to know, even the church, and even as a leader, I want to know what position the church needs to be in, so that when it happens here, we are in the right position and the right place to embrace.
Amen. Amen.
So if I don't know, I don't really know. Because remember, you said earlier, that the Bible is not really telling us that line upon line.
Amen.
But
amen.
By experience, if you tell us,
amen.
The church now has information.
Amen.
We know how to go about it. So how will you restore?
Amen.
The church restore you?
That's a good question.
Magnificent question, Pastor. I tell you, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. I'll let my wife talk about hers briefly. I'm going to give you mine really, really quickly. Number one, I have three people who are really, I say, my spiritual leaders. Now, the first one is I call her Mother Sharon Harris. Okay, that was the woman of God, the ministry where I received my call to preach, and also got baptized in the Spirit under that ministry. Okay, my pastor, he's that man of God. Unfortunately, he's basically backslidden. Long story short. We don't even know where he is, unfortunately. But my mother in the gospel, amen, absolutely. She prayed the prayer of restoration fully for me and my wife as well. The second person, amen, my second leader was the one who I got ordained. I got the calling on the first ministry, got ordained under a bishop, amen. My wife and I, we went to Montgomery, Alabama. Met with him and his wife. We had a conversation. Amen. He prayed and laid his hands on us and blessed us as well. And my last one, the church where we attend now in Macon, Georgia, a friend of mine where I once assisted him in ministry back in the year 2000. Amen. He also, praise the Lord, gave us his right hand of fellowship and restored us as well. But it was a process for some of them. It's particularly one. I'm not going to name it, but particularly one, it took some time. It took some time because you got to understand the ex also has a voice. All right. So that's my answer. So, yes, ma'am.
Mine was, I think they gave me time to get it together, but I still was getting it together by myself. Okay. And so when I got it together and I started being engaged in church again, they just kind of put me right back into my places, if you will. But I do think we need to do it better.
Absolutely.
I think we need to acknowledge that it happened and call the person in and say, let's talk. What do you need from us as a church? That's the question that needs to be asked. It might be something simple as, I just might need prayer, or I just need to know that I did my best. I want to let you know I did my best. I tried. But to me, I felt like it must have been your fault because of your personality. They're quiet. You're not. So it's got to be you. And that stigma hung over me for a while.
Amen.
Until the truth came out. And when the truth came out, then it's like, oh, yeah. But see, I'm so over that now. I had to walk it out.
Right.
It was tough. But when I got back in, I was received well. But I didn't want to have to go through that part by myself. So that's the part I would really encourage church leaders, people that serve. Brothers and sisters, lay. A lot of times people may not want to go to leadership. It'll take one lay person to go and talk to that person. I'm here for you. Not to get in their business, but to say, I'm praying for you. What do you need? Do you need me to just look out for the kids? My neighbor was the best. Because I had to end up transitioning out of my house into an apartment for about 9 months. And the kids were there, but they were still catching the bus from my house. So my neighbor would keep them until I got off work, because I would work in the apartment. I worked from home as a trainer. And she would look out for them for me, but she was there more for me than the church.
And may I add this really briefly? I know we must end. But I would say, Pastor, the church at large as a whole, I would say failed. Okay, what I mean by that is oftentimes the church is, okay, so busy looking at fault, trying to find out whose fault it is. Okay, now, and when I say church, I've got to remember, I'm a part of the church. I'm a pastor in the church, all right? I make my confession first, okay? So we're so busy trying to find out who fault it was, why didn't you stick it out, that we're not putting that energy into how to help this person be healed. And may I go a little deeper here? I would say especially within the African-American or black community, we are doing worse. Because, unfortunately, my wife, I think the church she went to was predominantly white, and they have ministry for divorcees. I have not gone to a church. I don't know of a black church today that has a ministry to minister to divorcees. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know personally. Amen. I know this one has one now, praise God. Amen. So what I'm saying is we need to take that energy away from trying to find, because I'm going to tell you, I promise you, having gone through divorce, that person did not want to get a divorce. That person already ashamed. That person's already condemned. That person already, I'm telling you, that person probably suicidal. Okay? So the last thing the church needs to do is try to say, oh, you're shame. You are of no use to God anymore. So many words. Amen? Very good question.
Amen. And I thank God for my pastors again. They allowed me to get right back into ministry.
Amen.
They probably didn't even take me out. Freya probably just took her own self out.
Amen. Amen.
But I just felt like I just needed a conversation. And then when I finally had it, was okay. So a lot of times it's that person, how they're dealing with it. It might be the perception that the church didn't do anything, when the church just wants you to go reach out to them, but you may have to do the initiation. That's all I'm saying. Amen. That part is the part the church has to work on. Go to them. If they're not coming to you, it's because they're ashamed.
Amen.
Go to them.
Amen.
Reach out to them.
Amen.
And then even, I remember getting a phone call from my leadership and checking on me, and I appreciated it. And it's still like I still needed the people, too.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Even though my leader did the right thing, I'm just saying the people as a whole, it's like, for whatever reason, a divorcee is looking for people to say, I'm okay, you're okay. And also to go deal with that ex as well, because they were in church to say they're okay equally. Amen.
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 In closing, I want to say this. Remember that. Let's remember the scripture that says, if you find your brother or sister in a fault. Now, this means guilty. Okay. Everybody who's divorced was not the guilty party. But if you find your brother or sister in a default, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves likewise, that you can fall. So once again, our main goal in this presentation this morning, and our main goal as saints of God, as people of God, as leaders, should always be restoring our brother and sister to their rightful place in Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand praise. Hallelujah. What we want to do before we leave, we want to ask you to stand. Amen. First of all, I want to say, woman of God, we thank you so much once again for having us to come and enabling, giving us the opportunity to share this. This is something very intimate to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Freya, praise God. Amen. And we declare today in the name of Jesus that if there's anybody today, hallelujah, who's dealing with the guilt and shame of having gone through a divorce, we are declaring to you right now, not tomorrow, but right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that you are whole and that you are restored, that you are set free from all guilt and shame in the name of Jesus. Let's look to the Lord right now. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, hallelujah, for your word. My God, your word is life, hallelujah. Oh God, and you declare in your word will not go out and return it to you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. So right now in the name of Jesus, we dispatch your word, oh God, hallelujah, into the atmosphere, oh God, into the ears of every woman, every man, hallelujah, in this place today. And my God, and those who have gone through a divorce, those who have suffered, hallelujah, Lord God, the tragedy of having to sever a relationship, we right now speak healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We speak, oh God, peace to their mind. We speak, oh God, peace to their spirit. We speak wholeness, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, that they will fulfill the divine destiny that you have for them to fulfill in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord God, hallelujah, let them know that they are loved of you. God, let them know right now that they are, hallelujah, God, still the apple of your eye in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh my God, and we thank you right now, oh God, hallelujah, for doing it today. And we declare it so right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let the people of God declare in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise right now.